In modern Christianity, there is a perception of our future. And that perception is affected by a doctrine that is not the subject of today's message, but a doctrine called Trinity. And because of that, there is then a perception of mankind's future, what we will be. And in that modern Christian view, it is generally understood that we will share the divine nature with God. I grew up in the Church of God, and I was taught that we will be God as God is God. And that is the title of this, God as God is God. And what I was taught was that we would be born into a family of God. And we would be like Him. And then things changed. And my perception of the change was that the new administration of that church went into that subject of God being God is God, and they tried to correct it. And what they tried to say was, you and I can't be God as God is God, because God is from eternity, one, and God has never sinned, ever in eternity. This was one of the first things I heard said where I realized they were way off the mark. And I'll tell you why. Because there wasn't anything wrong with that. So those things are true. And it's also true that we cannot share in that reality. Because we have a beginning and we have sin. See, we will not become God as God is God if using the generic term God to represent the name of the Father or of Jesus Christ. But God has promised us we will be God as God is God if using the generic term God to represent the family chemistry, makeup, and behavior of God. As near as I can interpret, mainstream Christianity believes we will be made into spirit beings and that we will be partakers of the divine nature. And they reference 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, as we would reference. And all of this sounds good. I mean, we will be partakers of the divine nature and we will be spirit beings. The only problem is that this is not all that God promises to do. And mainstream Christianity appears to deny this promise. And so their explanation ends up mixing the ideas of men with the truth of God. And y'all had just recently heard a sermon from Mr. Dowd about evil, or good wrapped around evil. And you cannot call evil good just because something good or perceived as good is associated with it. So in their interpretation, God will always be a unique entity defined as the Trinity, which was a term derived not from the Bible, but from discussion and philosophy and trying to create unity 2 to 3 centuries down the road from the first apostles. And that the saved will be like God and even be called God. If we reference the Eucharist, we would be called God. But the designation is only relevant to them in terms of this divine nature. Turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. So we're his children, but we still don't know exactly what that means in full completion. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Mainstream Christianity probably wouldn't have a problem with that. But then it says, for we shall see him as he is. You may have heard in your life times when people try to pick out that word like and say that that's not the same. And I think I've discussed that before too. And yet they cannot use that with that following statement, for we shall see him as he is. In this powerful revelation of Scripture are two important points. One, we are his children, and so therefore we will be his children. And two, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read from verses 16 through 19. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Again, a description of us as his children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Notice that again we are the children of God, and it says very clearly heirs of God. We receive an inheritance of God. And then it says again sons of God at the end of that statement. So I was thinking to myself as a horticulturalist, because I like to do that, how to illustrate this relationship. And I thought to myself, well, how about scientific classification, which is a construct of mankind used to help distinguish various forms of life from other forms of life. And even as they get more similar, you can determine what they are. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, there's this plant. Its name, in scientific terms, there is the genus, and then there is the species epithet, is what they call it. And the name of this is Ginkgo biloba. That's the scientific name. Don't worry about it. People do call them ginkgos there, although, or they'll call them maidenhair, I think, trees. This particular species, it's the only species on this earth. It's an ancient species. It's the only one. If I were to talk to you about an oak tree, I'd have to be a little more specific, because there's several species of oak trees. They're all related, but there are very many different kinds. I could tell you every oak tree has acorns when it makes seed. But if I were to try to tell you what the seed looked like, or when it came out, or what color it was, or whatever, I'd have to start talking about its specific, its species identification. But the Ginkgo biloba is the only one of its kind. It can't cross with any other kind of tree and make something new. An oak tree could actually go between species and make another oak tree that would be unique. Well, Homo sapiens, are you familiar with that name? Okay, that's the scientific name for us, mankind. There is no other genus of Homo on this earth. Okay, we're the only ones. We can't cross ourselves with any other animal member of the animal kingdom. We could not make other creations from ourselves, except from ourselves, amongst ourselves, male and female. And so that is something that is similar in the plant world as with the human world. Well, now this is strictly for illustration purposes, Okay, I'm not trying to say something where you will then start defining something else this way. It's only for illustration. Let's pretend or make a scientific classification. The word for God in Latin, and these scientific words are usually rooted in Latin, is Deus, Deus for God. So let's, for the moment and for illustration, classify God as Deus, Deusis. Is the way a lot of Latin words end in species epithets. Why would I do that? Because there's only one God. Only one. And that God is Deus, Deusis for these illustrative purposes. There's only one God. Do you see what I'm getting to? There are members, just like there's more than one ginkgo biloba tree on the earth. There are thousands and millions of them. There's billions of Homo sapiens. There is one God, but there's more than one member. Okay? If we refer back to 1 John 3 and Romans 8. So God's promises are true. That's something else we have to believe when we think of how God describes himself and how God describes our relationship with him now and in the future. God cannot lie. It's important to know that. He can never lie. And that is given to us in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 and also Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And lying is a type of sin. So he can never commit that sin. But we also learn from Scripture that God cannot be tempted by any sin. And that's in James chapter 1 and verse 13. And just as an aside, we will find that the person born of God in that time in the future cannot sin either. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. That again shows a likeness to God that is only of God. Only God cannot sin. And there is a time when we will be changed and will be his children, and we will not sin. This expresses an inheritance of a perfect, infallible, godly quality. I had put in here another scripture. I'll just reference it here. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 13. Actually going through to verse 14. And let me just say, then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. So the Lord is telling Moses he's going to have to talk to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews. So he's simply reflecting, he's passing on God's information. Let my people go that they may serve me. Verse 14, for at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, that's an unusual one, right? Those who would believe in the Trinity would maybe want to rely on that. But after what you've just heard, what can that mean? That even though Moses was a righteous man, he was not, for the sake of illustration, Deus, Deusis. He was Homo sapiens. Now, God has revealed to us that he's doing something very special in that he created Homo sapiens in his image. And he is going to do a miraculous change so that we enter that family completely. And, of course, because we have been given his spirit, we are also already participating as family members because that is part of God in us. Now, why would I have brought all of this up today? Well, what's been on my mind recently is this seminar that United Church of God is putting on in Cincinnati. if you're not aware of it, I think it's September 10th, and they are doing a advertising campaign, billboards and all, to try to get people to come to a seminar entitled Why Were You Born? And I'm excited about it. I hope it's successful, and I want God to be in it. And I thought I would bring this up. We won't be in Cincinnati. We won't get to hear it. Hopefully there'll be some recording and we can hear it later. But I wanted to talk a little bit about our purpose, because who knows who will come to that seminar and have no idea why they're here, or who can see Christianity explaining a future that they can't really define. And I want God to bless that very much, and I hope it's His will that everything's being done according to His plan. And I would just ask that everybody keep that in mind, if you will, and pray about that and think about that. So, no, we are not God, as God is God. Nor will we be, because we will not become the Father or the Son when we are changed. These persons have lived in eternity without sin, and we have not. But neither are they a closed system, as a Trinity defines. Instead, we who have chosen the way are now the children of God by God's grace and imparting of His Holy Spirit. And we will become God, as God is God, as members of God's family, each of us a unique person in that family, perfect and without sin by God's own handiwork. What Christian can disbelieve God and still say they follow Him? What person can accept an inferior definition of his or her purpose when the Word of God is understood to have better promises? This understanding of the nature of God is not a construct of human pride. Nothing about this belief suggests in any way that we have the capability of our own to become gods. Instead, our belief in the Scripture reveals only the love of God in action as shown in God's supreme purpose for man, which is for us to become God as God is God. And we should not be ashamed or afraid to say that. Members of God's family.